Let's just ask God again that if there is truth that He wants us to hear, that we'll hear it and that we'll respond to it. Carolyn Nelson, you have made the call to pray. Okay, some of the truths that we try to stress about sexuality, what it is, that it is a mystery, and yet there are some definite things that we can know about it. One of the things I'd like to mention, as far as you're trying to evaluate, I'll take 10 8 by 10 glosses. If you evaluate, where is all this going to be lived out? It probably has to be lived out in the theater mainly of the home and the church. Because, as I mentioned, when we get into the secular realm, it's just crazy. You can't always, you cannot control that. Because people are saying, let me live by my taste. Let me live by my preferences. Let me live by what makes me comfortable. But you can have commitments or convictions about the way you ought to live. And so I'm going to suggest that mainly it will be the church and the home that you'll live these things out in. And the key probably to us would be not to tamper with the roles just because of our taste and because the 20th century taste is changing. Now, there are some simple answers about how not to do that, but they're not easy answers. Does that make sense? Simple answers are not always easy answers. But God has given us a tremendous amount of direction. See, with Moses, when he gave him all the dimensions of the tabernacle, he described everything, the candlesticks, the snuffers, everything he described in intricate detail, the patterns, and he's done that for us. We have patterns about how to be who we have been designed to be. And so briefly, I would say, if I had one thing to say as far as the home, I would go back again to Ephesians 5, because that is the definitive passage that explains the mystery of Christ in the church, the place of the man in being compared to Christ as the head and the initiator, and the place of the woman as being described as the bride and the responder. And it's going to be what you do in the home and in the church to whether or not these ideas are guarded. In fact, the church and the home will be the guardians of these truths. But they can't particularly be guarded in an environment that can't be controlled, like the secular environment. Now, one thing, I think I've mentioned this, and I want to emphasize this again, that roles are not based on competence. See, you may say to yourself, well, I'm getting ready to marry this guy, and actually, I am more competent than he is to organize a home, to lead. You know, I've had more skills, you know, I know how to present the bridge and the hand and the foot, and, you know, we have all these skills, we know how to do these things, and you see what I'm saying? We may say, well, I have more competence to lead. Well, is that the issue? That is not the issue. The issue is, he has been assigned to be the head. You have been assigned, you and I, to be submissive, to respond to that. And see, hierarchy is not the opposite of equality. It's the opposite of tyranny. And when people refuse order, that's when we have tyranny. When natural, is that true? False. Your history major, tell me. When you refuse to actually take your role, that's when we have tyranny. When a natural superior refuses to rule a natural inferior, then we have tyranny. So when an assignment is given and that's refused, when men refuse to lead their wives, if it's, well, I don't know how to lead, I don't know what to do, I mean, I just don't know how to do it, then that's when we have confused women and confused order. You see, 2 + 2 = 5, that's usually, a psychotic can come up with that. You know, you have to put them away somewhere. 2 + 2 = 4, a neurotic can come out with that, but they can't stand it. See? And so Galatians 3:28 does say that we are equal. That is a verse on equality. Male and female, we are equal, but that's in the context of baptism. And in other words, we belong to the body of Christ as equals. And under God, we are equal. In grace, we are equal. In responsibility to be moral, we are equal. But if you and I are adding 2 and 2 and coming out with 4 and we can't stand it, then somehow we are becoming psychotic. I mean, neurotic. And we need to acknowledge when things get to us or pressure us, the key is not competence at all. The key is that we do not usurp authority that God gave someone else, no matter how competent we are. See, Miriam was a prophetess, was she not, Moses' sister? And she did prophesy. Now, one of her problems, though, is she got a little antsy with Moses at one time, and she said, Moses, why do we have to listen to you all the time? I mean, you know, I could prophesy, too. You know that. I mean, I have prophesied. And God said, zap, you have the leprosy. Because she was fine. She was a prophetess. Until she usurped Moses' authority and said, why don't you shut up, Moses? I think I can say a few words here. When God had, you know, a few things to lay on her, which mainly was leprosy. So she went outside the camp. But the exciting thing to me is they didn't move until she recovered. When she recovered from her leprosy and came back, then they moved. But the key to the woman in the 20th century is the same as it was when Miriam and Moses were having a little thing. It's do not usurp authority that God has given a man. Because, and you say, well, in our church, I mean, we just don't have any men to do it. You understand? Well, your disobedience doesn't help someone else's disobedience. I mean, two elements of disobedience, it just makes a better situation for Satan. So, briefly, I would say that God is most glorified when a man is most manly and when a woman acts most like a woman. So there is a call to femininity. There is a call to masculinity. And we can either answer that call or we can refuse it. Now, there are some situations. If you get into a mission field, a mission station, and something drastic happens, then you will need to probably operate in a way that a male would operate because there are none present. You remember when Jim Elliot was killed and all of the men who could speak the language were killed and his wife was left at that mission station? Well, do you remember what he told her before he left? He gave her one idea, and he said, you, if we don't come back, you teach the believers. Well, with all the male staff gone from that mission, she did that. But you know what she did? She called in those natives, and Saturday afternoon, set them down, you know, those different men that her husband was working with, and they would translate, and they would get the translation, and then they would use jungle examples and illustrations and so on from their lives, and then they would get up on Sunday and preach. Now, do you think they did as good a job as Elizabeth Elliot could have done? No, they didn't. They were not competent. as she was. But she did not usurp the role of a male to teach men and women in the church. And so that's the way she operated when she was totally without any male staff there, and 50 believers who needed to continue to know, and a request from her husband that she would teach the believers. So the ideas about what role we take has nothing to do with competence. The metaphor of marriage is very similar to the metaphor of dance. Now, some of you know how to dance. Do you? I mean, this is a Baptist student union, so don't raise your hands. But the dance is it's a really beautiful example of the initiator and the responder idea. Because, now those of you who know how to dance, one or two of you might know what I'm talking about. But we've seen it. You know, we just watched the Olympics, and so we saw that. The beautiful dancing executed. Now, if you're going to dance with a guy and you're both responders, are you ever going to get the dance on? No. If you're both initiators, is the dance ever going to come off? No. So when you have an initiator and a responder, does it work? Yes. And so that's a beautiful metaphor as far as this, how things work together when people are performing their roles, their assigned roles correctly. Now, see, you may say, well, I'm a better dancer. I'm more confident. Well, tough grips. Go ahead and be the responder and make it work. It's the same thing as being in an orchestra. And Judy, maybe you could tell us about this, because why is it important to have a leader in an orchestra? I mean, if the violins get overwhelming over here and the oboes are supposed to come in, well, is it going to work if people just leave them to themselves? Okay. So that's another example that for the harmony of what is supposed to come out in the completed work, leaders are needed. And it's not that the oboe players are inferior to the violins or the leader. It's just that everyone needs to work together with their assigned talents or positions or gifts, so that there is some harmony created. I think probably maybe the wisest thing we could do is for me to give you some time back. And I would say this, under God, I just would pray that we would have the courage and the grace to be men and women, to let the men be men, and that we would be women. But one of the things you might want to ask some specific questions, or just tell where you are in this, the whole concept of the feminist movement. If you want to just tell us where you are, how you happen to come today. Okay. I think we could do it in 30 minutes, maybe get through this crowd. Would any of you be opposed to doing that? Just telling why you happen to come, what you were looking for, and if you have some specific questions, and maybe as a group we can answer those. Beth, when do we start with you?
Well, I think a lot of men tonight came, I guess, was from what I heard about Carolyn and the reputation that you had about being a woman of God. And for me, I guess I haven't had any real conflict with the feminist movement or a confrontation at all. Myself, I've never had a question about it, because I've always believed in what is in the Bible, and I've never even questioned another way. And I've never had people confront me with it from a different point of view. And so, to me, it was just a more, I guess, confirming what Chicago would be at the woman.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
So the question that I would have to know is if you think that I would have to know that I'm going to be a
person. Can you hear her? Okay,
well, I'm a family relationship professional. I think a lot of the things I'm hearing, my students really have an experience, very experience. And I suppose if I were doing the right thing, I'd be 13 years in my life. You know, I could soon open that class.
Good idea. Act 1711, write it down on your hand or somewhere. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Good thought, Sue.
But I'm hearing that the reason why a lot of marriages aren't working out is because most people are treated. The husband and the wife both have their own experience.
Oh, yeah, we were just talking about that. The idea, I think, would be Sarah was saying that she lives in a community where almost all of them have careers. The double careers, the male and the female, have careers. And I believe the important thing there to do is to sit down, the man and the woman, to sit down, and for the woman not to assume, because I went through 4 years of college and because I have this degree and maybe I have a master's degree, that my husband would naturally expect me to work. I think it would be wise to sit down together and talk and find out from the husband, do you want me to work? And if he does, then what is the command we have? I mean, if he wants the woman to work outside the home, the command is that you submit to his idea, because if he is, now, you're just talking about any couple. Are you talking about any couple or a Christian couple? Oh, okay. That's right. Well, they would work, but they would have struggles because they wouldn't have the Holy Spirit to help them carry it out. But if they agree together and the man says it's okay for you to work, and it's all right if I iron your clothes, or if I iron my clothes, that's okay if you want to do that. I know a couple that's in Berkeley, and she works, and he's getting another degree, and he said something about, how do you like her dress? And I said, well, what do you mean, how do I like it? He said, do you think it's ironed well? And he said, well, yeah, I think she does a good job. He said, no, I did that. so he wasn't having problems with that. But because they sat down together and talked it over, and he made the agreement that he would work on a teaching assistantship while she worked as a teacher. So I would say that the important thing is for them to communicate, and then for her to receive his instruction, and then from time to time check it out and see now. Are you still happy with this? Is this still good for you? And would you prefer that I continue to work outside the home? Is this difficult for you? And at the same time, if he's laying his life down for that woman, he will be checking that out too. Is this bothering you? Is this putting pressure on you? Etc. So I would say the issue is the communication and then receiving his thoughts and submitting to them.
I have not kept up on what's going on in the women's movement. I don't feel very knowledgeable. I was so excited just for the opportunity to learn, just from facts, what's going on, how we can respond. I just have a question. Being in a career and not a student or in a home, how do I respond to
women that are out of authority, that are in this rebellion towards men, because those are the people that are in authority over me right now, are rebellious women. How do I respond to it? How do I submit to them and yet, try to walk a guide, stand, righteous before him also?
Okay, Romans 12 does say that we are to submit to the authorities over us. So even if the authority over us is rebellious, I think maybe Genesis 50:20, you may need to review that. Or is it 20:50? Where is Moses' story? Joseph's story. It's 20:50. No, excuse me. Genesis 50:20 about you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. In other words, they may be hot on the trail of their own honors, and they may be in some ways not making your life really pleasant, but if you will continue to submit to them under God, you're not responsible for their sin. True? Now, you can pray for them, but if you'll continue to submit to them, God will see that you are honored, and you're put in a position that can honor him. But somebody may have another thought about that. Anybody have a thought about that? Okay. You might say your name. So do all of y'all know each other? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you might say your name.
Okay, I'm Tammy Belfort. And I'm a business major. I'm graduating in May. And a week after I graduate, I'm getting married. And so, roles, I'm just feeling, from all the people in the business college, I hear one thing. And then I hear something else. And one question I had that you just answered was just, we talked about me working and come to where we think it's supposed to be. And I was real confused because it seems like all I was hearing were 15 women shouldn't work. Just didn't, we talked about it and thought that that would be good for a while. And so I was going, oh no. But I think the answer to that question.
Mm-hmm. Look at Proverbs 31. That woman scares me to death. I can't believe she got all that done. And see, she worked inside the home, outside the home, and today, you look at all the things she did, they've been taken basically outside the home. And all the canning she did, that's gone into manufacturing canned goods. The clothing that she made, that's gone into the clothing industry. I mean, many men are now running the things that the mind of that woman in Proverbs 31 once did. She still went out and bought fields and worked in real estate. So she was an extremely industrious and probably quite wealthy woman.
I'm Sarah, and Tammy being my brother.
Ah.
So I really came to be with her and to get to know her as a sister-in-law or whatever.
Yay.
For the last couple of months, my daddy has been asking my advice on things, and I kind of felt like maybe this could be a good time to learn deeper things so I can help him and him.
Good. Okay, good.
I'm stubborn, and I think this is like, I think people are existing or feminists are talking about what's going to happen to us if we are able to work in the day's work. And
okay.
I'm driving a car and I came to the same thing too. I just wasn't aware of all the things that were going on, and I wanted to become more aware of what's going on and what's being said. So I don't know, how to respond to that and what's the thing about that. And I think one of the main questions I had is how are we going to find the things that we are able to I think you can answer that last night. We're not fighting against that movement, and we need to work it. that changing my family to, you know, working for a cause, but, you know, working for lives instead of working for a cause.
Good.
Time goes through, and I came kind of because I knew that you were single, and I'm single, and I'm graduating, and I feel like once I get out of school, I'm going to have less and my story figure in my life because my father won't be involved in my life that much anymore, and I'm not dating anybody, and so I feel like
I'm and you knew you could identify it there.
So I just was kind of interested in how you handle being single and finding authority from now.
Mm-hmm. Did you pick that up from my boss? I don't know if I explained that very well, but here's an agreement that I asked my boss about, and I would encourage you to do this. And if you have a man that really is threatened by any of your gifts or talents, pray that God will lead you to someone who could be unthreatened by those. If you are single, I just asked him. I said, Max, I would like to think with you, to use all my gifts that I can use, but at the same time, I would like to be submissive to you, to your authority, and let me tell you how I think it'll work out. What I'd like to do is to, you know, anything you bring up, I would like to be able to say, Mess, I don't think that'll work, I think that's idiotic, and here's what I think we ought to do. And then he could say, well, Carolyn, that comment is stupid, and so what we're, in other words, now he doesn't say that, we don't talk like that to each other, but you see, what I'm saying is, the thing that he wanted from me was to know, now Carolyn, can you divorce yourself from your ideas? Because often women can't do that, and if a woman puts an idea out, and a man says, that is stupid, then the woman automatically breaks into tears and says, ooh, he thinks I'm stupid, and that isn't true. He just thinks that idea is stupid. He thinks you're fine. So if we can divorce ourselves from the ideas, and that's what he wanted for me to be able to put my ideas out there, let them do whatever they wanted to, they can, you know, smash them, or they can say, great, that is a tremendous idea, we'll show what we're going to do, and we will carry this out. Now, the agreement we have is that we can battle through anything before the decision is made. Before he makes the decision, I can tell him anything I think. And this fall, he made a decision, and I said, okay, I want to tell you that. He called me in and told me the decision. I said, I think you are wrong. I think you should call this person and this person, but you haven't, and I understand why you're not. And but I said, I will get up and walk out that door, and no student will ever know that that idea didn't come from me as well as you. You see, the commitment I've made to him is that I will submit to him. He gives me the freedom to be a part of the decisions, but then when he makes the decision, after we've both done the thinking together, then I get up and walk out of that room, and I assume whatever his idea, and I assume that I should work hard to make that a success, even if it's not my idea. That is my concept of submitting to authority. And does that help someone how to deal with a security?
Okay. My name's Carol Murray, and the main thing is that I was looking for was just like how in today's world, how like a Christian woman can respond to what her desires are and her desires compared to when you're like maybe in classrooms or just the environment around you, you know, when they have their certain ideas of what this should be like, you know, just to respond the way that you believe. And I think that's
good. Okay.
I'm getting after that. And I've had some contact with him and I think that if he came to me with his own mind, he would all do it and laugh and so on and so
forth. Crawled out the door.
I think I better learn.
So that's
taking up. I think I came in because I heard about the ministry and because I knew I could learn a lot. I think I was pretty much exposed to the subject. I think I was just saying I knew what it was, and I was doing that. I'm learning a lot and trying to, I think, now figure out how I can apply it to my life and do what I'm at now and hear myself and do what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm Diane Lee, and I'm graduating in May. And the primary reason I came was because I'm unsure about what I should do in my career and how I should do because I'm committing to a time. I've taken some classes in women's studies, so I'm aware of the feminist movement, and I wanted to get a viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. She's thinking of being a bank examiner, and one of her questions was, what if they assign me a group of men to work with and work and assign me a group of men whose authority I am? And so long as she has an officer over her, you know, that's his prerogative to give her that. And she can submit to her authority.
In all honesty, I didn't go because of the ERA and I just really had a desire and need to be a Christian woman so easily and just renew my mind today. It was like it kind of felt like sadness this semester. I said I mean it's a lot of Christian women.
We got fellowship with Cindy, yeah? Good.
My name is Kelly Cook, and I'm a senior graduating in business, so I think all of my business questions have been answered.
Good.
I'm not sure if I can understand how to ask you that you are in the same way as you are in the same way.
To your dating partner. No, scripture does not encourage that. And that you can get very confused in that. See, you are not his wife. And if he begins to treat you as his wife, you treat him like a brother then. You know, how would you treat your brother?
Okay, but they are men, and so they're like,
God, they
have authority
given by God.
Over their wives.
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, see, there is a mutual submission. Both of you should submit to one another. See, like that verse that we read last night, Ephesians 5:21. But you, there's no command that says, girlfriends, submit to your boyfriends. Oh, right, okay. He needs to initiate, yes. I mean, you wouldn't be calling him because you'd be the responder, the initiator. But also, I think at this stage, and girls, I don't know how many of you are engaged, but I know sometimes when girls are engaged and they think, oh, well, I'm just supposed to submit, and I wish he would leave, but I guess he won't. Well, you ought to say something at this stage, because when you marry him, you don't do that anymore. I mean, you know, at this point, you could say, I really need a spiritual leader. Did you plan to do that? Or, you know, you might ask them, you might also, don't just, see, I asked one girl, now, what's your name? Do you think that, what's his name, wants you to have a ministry after y'all are married? She said, oh, yeah, I'm sure he does, you know, with wives. I said, well, did you ask him? No, I didn't. I said, well, you better. Ask him, does he mind if you have a ministry? Because he might not want that. He might not want you to reach out to other women or for y'all to reach out to couples. And at that point, you can say, thank you very much for your carrot, but I can't go through with this because I need a spiritual leader. And the reason I'm breaking this engagement is because of this. So you can say that outside of marriage. When you get inside of marriage, can you say, oh, excuse me, I'm breaking this up. I didn't know you wouldn't be the spiritual leader. Can you do that then? No. So, you see what I'm saying? You can make some statements now because you are not in the, I must submit to, he is my head and I must submit. You can explain some things to him that you're looking for and need. But if you wait until you get into the marriage role, then that's not the time to say that. Yeah, because see, you're saying, can I explain how women operate as responders? You know, I need your leadership. Probably if you're, you know, if he's doing anything and you're responding, then he is leading. Often, though, you know, they'll do something. We'll say, why did you do that? I used to do that 2 years ago. You know, I mean, you know, I'm beyond that. I mean, can't you do something and lead me a little more, you know, nobly? Or see, and what does that do to a man? What kind of, see, it makes him want to withdraw and not do anything to lead. Okay, now, Susan, we pretty well thoroughly confused you. Well, do you see the position you're in right now? That you are not supposed to be submitting to him, except as on a mutual basis, but treating him as your brother. So remember, your brother, you wouldn't, you know, snuggle up to him and watch TV all night. You'd probably, you know, give him a big hug and maybe some cheek. Gwen?
Kind of where they're on my attitude, and I haven't
discontent with the assignments and the workload caused me to become discontent when I had, you know, the power of God, the universe, to overcome in my time schedule, the God process. You know, I don't have the limitations that people have, and so I just maintain the power within me. I love